We pray that this word will profit us in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray that the Holy Spirit himself will teach us today in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Father. Even as we begin to exercise some of these gifts of the Spirit in this church, and as we see lives change and people encouraged in the kingdom, in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are continuing our series on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Holy Spirit. Part 5. We are looking at the power or working gifts. The power gifts or the working gifts. As usual, we are going to read from our text, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 to 11. We are not going to read the whole of chapter 12. We'll just read verse 1 to 11. So can we have somebody read for us 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1 to 11. If you want me to read, I can read. If we don't get to our Bible quickly enough. He said, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit wither. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kind of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all this worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit dividing to every man severally as he will." Praise the Lord. I mean, over the last 5 weeks or so, we have looked at the different gifts. We said they can be divided into three broad groups. We talked about the inspirational gifts, the vocal ones, the talking ones. We talked about the revelational ones. And now we are talking about the power or the working gifts. And I'm sure somebody will be asking me, the other gifts, are they not meant to work in the kingdom? Of course, they are meant to work in the kingdom. They are part of the work. I mean, they are part of the gifts that God has given to us so as to make the work of the kingdom easier. But the ones we are considering today, they have direct bearing in displaying the power of God, in making the power of God manifest in a situation. And remember, I told you that if there's anything that the Lord encourages us to covet, is the gifts, because they are important for the work of the kingdom. It is the absence of the genuine demonstration of these spiritual gifts that is making people, a lot of people, not want to stay in church. Because when you look at the early church, the Bible wrote several times that, and he and said that, and fear came upon the people. Every time there was a demonstration of the power of God, fear would come upon the people. In fact, you don't have to convince people to come. They will just rush. They will come to where the children of God are gathered because they know that there's a demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God. And my prayer for us this morning is that in our lives and in our ministry, God will make his presence known by reason of the demonstration of his power in Jesus' name. Because the Bible says the kingdom is not in words, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God. Praise the Lord. Our memory verse is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 12. Amplified version. Because it brings out the essence of why God will give these gifts to men. I decided to put it in the Amplified version because it brings out the essence. Can we all just read together our memory verse? 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 12. Go. So it is with yourselves, since you are eager and ambitious to possess spiritual endowment and manifestations of the Holy Spirit, concentrate on striving to excel and to abandon them in ways that will build up the church. Praise the Lord. Can we go again? So it is with yourselves, since you are eager and ambitious to possess spiritual endowments and manifestation of the Holy Spirit, concentrate on striving to excel and to abound in them in ways that will build up the church. Praise the Lord. Now, when we're talking about the church here, we are not talking about Christ Redemption Assembly Universal alone. He says, it's not bad for us to seek the face of God. In fact, it should be our desire that we possess these special endowments, these special gifts, so that what? So that we can build up the church of God. What I keep saying is this. If God would do miracles here, the blind see, the lame walk, do you think Christ Redemption Assembly Universal will be the only church that will benefit from it? No. Once the newspaper carry it, it's shown on TV, I'm telling you, attendance in church will grow in the U.S. Everywhere that they read of that thing that God has done, people will go to church. They don't all have to come to Australia. Wherever they know that there are children of God, people will go to them because of the demonstration of the power of God. And that's what the Bible is telling us this morning. He said, so, with ourselves, even as we are eager to obtain these gifts, we should know that it's for the building of the church, the kingdom of God. And you will be that instrument in the hand of God that God will use in Jesus' name. Let me quickly do an overview of last week. And of course, as we talked about inspiration, we said, I mean, just the proper word for it, because when you talk about, you know, prophecy, when you talk about speaking in tongues and the interpretation of tongues, these are things that build people up. Particularly when prophecy is given and people see the prophecy come to pass, it further encourages the children of God. And of course, we also said that God expects that these gifts be manifest in a very orderly manner in our church. So, in the power gifts of today, we'll probably be able to cover faith as we look at power gifts. And there are three of them: faith, gifts of healings, and the working of miracles. So hopefully we'll be able to cover, if we can cover more than faith, we will do so. So faith as a gift of the Holy Spirit. Let's quickly look at what faith is. We know that Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, gives us the definition of faith. Praise God. But we are looking at faith as a gift of the Holy Spirit today. I will tell you the difference between the two. Amen? Here, the faith we are talking about is the supernatural ability to believe God without human doubt, unbelief, and reasoning. Let's look at Romans chapter 4, verse 17, just to get to catch a glimpse of the kind of faith we are talking about today. I'm still going to explain myself. Romans 4, 17. Praise the Lord. It's talking about Abraham here. God making promise to Abraham and telling him when he was at the point when he should be hopeless. He should have been hopeless. But he received the promise of God without wavering. The kind of faith we are talking about is the faith that will hope against hope when there should be no hope at all. It's not the kind of faith that an average person will exercise. What do I mean by that? I'm going to tell you, I'll quickly explain to you when we get there. But let's just read James verse 1, yeah, chapter 1, verse 5 to 8. Just describing this kind of faith we are talking about. James 5, 1, 5 to 8. James 1, 5 to 8.
Think he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all he does.
Praise the Lord. You see, a version here says in verse 6, say, but let him ask in faith. So let him ask in unwavering faith. So, the kind of faith that the Holy Spirit gives as a gift is the unwavering faith. Praise the Lord. We are going somewhere. Let's quickly look at Matthew 17, verse 20. Matthew 20.
Shortly, I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you.
So, is the mountain moving faith? That's the kind of faith that the Holy Spirit gives. Praise the Lord. So, when we look at faith as a gift, it leads us to believe that there are two tiers of faith. Okay? On one hand, the Bible tells us that every believer has been given a measure of faith. Let's look at Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Romans 12, 3. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Praise the Lord. He said, measuring yourself by the faith that God has given us. He said, for I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. So there's the measure of faith that God has given to every man. Every child of God that comes to him has been given a measure of faith. The good thing that I want us to be aware of is that this gives us hope that our faith will not necessarily remain static. That is why we can grow in faith as God gives us gifts. Remember, when you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 to 31, it actually talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and tells us that different people are given different gifts, which means there are people who are given these gifts of faith. So over and above the normal faith that every one of us will have, there are people who have this unwavering gift of faith. But is it limited to them? No. If we ask God, God will give it to us also. Praise the Lord. Remember, the Bible says, covet ye these gifts. So we should covet this unwavering gift of faith from the Lord over and above what everyone else will have. That is why you find out that in a particular situation, you put 20, 50 children of God together, something is happening. While someone is already giving up, there are those who will stand in faith. That is why in every generation there will be people who will stand in faith when all others are giving up, when others are being told that the times of miracles have passed, when others are being told that, look, it's no longer the dispensation to trust God and believe him absolutely. There will always be people who will be willing to take risks with God. Praise the Lord. So that is the kind of faith we are talking about. Unwavering faith. Unwavering faith. Why is it a power gift? So faith, this kind of faith, why is it a power gift? It is a power gift because this kind of faith brings about things. It brings about changes. It brings about the power of God being made manifest where never this kind of faith is exercised. It is this kind of faith that the Bible was talking about when he says that God called those things that be not as though they were. Is the kind of faith that before it sees, it already believes in the existence of something. Is a very powerful kind of faith. And I pray that we'll be operating at that level in Jesus' name. It's an overcoming kind of faith. For you to be victorious, for you to overcome, you must have an instrument of fighting, isn't it? Because there's no victory without a fight. Praise God. So which, in other words, in order for you to be victorious, you will have fought a fight. And that was what Paul was saying. He said, I've fought a good fight and I've finished my race. So he fought a fight. It's this kind of faith that allows you to fight a good fight and to be victorious. You'll be victorious in Jesus' name. Let's open to 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. The book of 1 John chapter 5, verse 14.
If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us.
Yes.
Do you want me to read it
again? Yes, please.
Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us.
Mm-hmm. Please go on.
And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have we have the petition that we have asked of him.
Is that 1 John 5:4? Yes, please.
Overcome the world, our faith.
Praise the Lord. He said, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So this faith is the one that overcomes. It's a victory giving faith. It's a weapon. It does work. So it conquers. Let me read it from Amplified Version. It really gives, you know, the essence of this kind of faith. He say, for whatever is born of God is victorious over the world. And this is the victory that conquers the world, even our faith. So our faith is the victory that conquers the world. It's the victory that will help us to live a life above sin. Is the victory that will help us to stand in the face of opposition. Is the victory, that's our faith, that will help us to stand when everyone else is giving up. Is the victory that will help us to raise our family the godly way when everyone has put God at the back burner. This is our faith, that unwavering conviction in the ability and the power of God is the one that will help us to trust God when things are going very well for us and when things are going not so well for us. It's the faith that will make us stand in the face of persecution. It's that faith that will make us to talk about the love of God even when we are being told not to spread the gospel. It's the unwavering faith. I keep telling people, and I've said this many times, I say, how come the gospel grows where there is so much persecution? And in places where there is no persecution, where we have the so-called freedom, we can't even go out and talk to people about Christ. In places where people are persecuted, they have to live on the edge. They depend on God every day. They see the power of God delivering them. And when you have seen God, you see, that's why the Bible says, it talks about the knowledge of God that passes understanding. Knowledge is the experiential knowledge of God. When you have the experiential knowledge of God, you cannot but talk about him. It takes you to that level of faith. And that's what God will do in our lives today in Jesus' name. That faith gives victory. It's that level of faith that helps us to please God. In Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6, it says, everyone that comes to God must believe that he is. He said, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. It is faith in him that makes us to believe that he is God. It's the faith in him that makes us to believe that he's going to reward us for everything we give up in order to be and remain his children. For example, when other people are cheating and you refuse to cheat, it's because you know that God is going to reward you. When other people will be angry, or a situation when other people will be angry, when you choose to keep your peace, it is because you know he's going to reward you. Recently, I was at work. Somebody was supposed to have done something which the person didn't do. The person who was supervising was very, very angry. and came to me and told me and said, look, this is what has happened. And I said, okay, what do we do next? Let's look at how we can fix it. So I said, I told them what to do. I said, let's do this, let's do this, let's do that. And she went away a little disappointed. And after a while, I called her and I asked her, what were you expecting? When you came to tell me that thing, what were you expecting? Because I could see disappointment in her eyes. Because I see that she was really fuming. I said, what were you expecting? Were you expecting me to be angry? She said, no, really. She said, that's why I came to you. I know that there's a calmness around you. Once, if I bring it to you, that you are going to defuse the situation. And the only reason you would do that is because you know that God is your rewarder. Praise the Lord. So that kind of peace, that kind of faith gives you peace. And of course, at individual level, it's that kind of faith that serves as your compass, even when you don't know what to do. When it looks like you don't know where you are going, it's the kind of faith that serves as your compass. Let's finish by reading Hebrews 11 verse 8. Hebrews 11 verse 8. It says, urged on by faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed and went forth to a place which he was destined to receive as an inheritance. And he went, although he did not know or trouble his mind about where he was going. Praise the Lord. If you analyze this very well, when Abraham was called out, he just simply obeyed God. He didn't know that that was the land that was meant to be given to him as an inheritance. He didn't know where he was going. But he did also not know the significance of where he was going, that it was the place that God has promised him. He just went in obedience. It takes faith to do that. Is the blind kind of faith that follows God irrespective of the circumstance. Praise the Lord. Do we have any questions or even contributions? Remember that Christianity without faith, or our gathering together without faith, because that's what makes us Christians. A lot of places today, people give us motivational talks devoid of faith. Short of telling you that seeing is in. Remember that faith, without faith, then we are not Christians. It's so important. Any questions? Contributions? Faith as a gift of the Holy Spirit. Any? Okay, praise the Lord. Let us pray. Remember that the Bible just told us that to every man has been given a measure of faith. You are going to pray to God. Say, Father, take me to the level where I will begin to operate in faith as a gift of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, I want you to pray to the Lord. Please, can we just rise on our feet this morning? Pray to the Lord and say, Father, take me to that level where I will begin to operate at the level of faith that is a gift of the Holy Spirit. A special level of faith that will make me to trust you, that will make me to have your mind. Because the Bible says we have the mind of Christ. That kind of faith that will make me see things the way you see them, that will make me trust and believe you against all hopes, That kind of faith that will make me stand and be counted for you. The kind of faith that will make me take risk on your behalf. The kind of faith that will make me preach the word in season and out of season. The kind of faith that will make me have passion for souls. The kind of faith that will make me desire the well-being of the kingdom. Take me to an unusual level of faith. Because the Bible says these gifts are given that every man may profit with her, so that I can profit in the kingdom. Take me to that level of faith. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Father, we thank you for the release of the gift of faith by the Holy Spirit upon every member of this church and everyone that is gathered here this morning. We thank you as we move on to another level in our operation in these gifts of the Holy Spirit. Father, even as we have already prayed for your children, the Bible says, ministers, flames of fire, going from glory to glory. Lord, take each and every one of us to the next level of glory today in Jesus' name. Open our understanding that we may begin to trust you like Abraham trusted you. Even when where we are going seem unclear to us, in faith we will trust you. In faith, we are going to step out. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' glorious name, we are prayed. Amen.